Parshas Nitzavim. Towards the beginning of this week's Parsha, in Perek Chofet, Pasuk Yud Zayin, Moshe Rabbeinu is addressing Klal Yisrael, and he says, Pen yesh bochem ish oy isha oy mishpocha oy shevet. Perhaps there is amongst you a man or woman, a family or tribe, whose heart turns away from being with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In fact, the heart turns away to the extent that La'avod es Elohei HaGoyim Hohem might be tempted even to serve Avodah Zarah. Moshe Rabbeinu is warning Klal Yisrael against serving Avodah Zarah. He continues in the next pasuk and he says, V'hoya b'shomoy, this person whom we fear might be tempted to serve Avodah Zarah will be hearing these words of my words of rebuke, and he will say in his heart, Shalom Yieli. Shalom Yieli, I'll be fine. Even though you're warning me not Chas v'Shalom to serve Avodah Zarah, but Shalom Yieli, I'll be just fine. Ki b'shrirus libi eilech, I will do exactly as I please, and I'm not concerned, and I'm not worried. Leman sefoit horova es hatzmeo, literally translated, thereby adding the watered upon the thirsty. Very strange words. The whole parasha makes sense. Moshe Rabbeinu is warning against the person who's going to go off the derech and serve Avodah Zarah. But then all of a sudden you have these words, Leman sefoit horova es hatzmeo, adding water upon the thirsty. So the easiest way of understanding it, the Ramban explains, that when you give water to somebody who's thirsty, that way as it is, he's fulfilling his taivos, his lusts. So too in the Moshel, somebody who's serving Avodah Zarah will also have this taiva for Avodah Zarah, and therefore by fulfilling that taiva, he could be compared to somebody who's thirsty and drinking water. And I saw a very beautiful interpretation in the Sefer Be'er Yosef al HaTorah. Be'er Yosef, we've quoted a number of times in the Shir, was written by Reb Yosef Tzvi Salant, who was one of the great Magidim in Yerushalayim a number of years ago, not that long ago. Moshe Rabbeinu, in this parasha, has gathered together all of Klal Yisrael. That's the way the parasha begins. Atem nitzovim hayoyim kulchem, you're all here in front of me. And as we know, this was la'avrcha b'brit. There's going to be a covenant that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make with all of Klal Yisrael, and everybody had to be there. The power of everybody being there is expressed in the Medrash. The Medrash says, if you would have a single reed, very soft, brittle reed, or a stick, or a piece of straw, you could easily just snap it in half. It's not difficult at all. But imagine if you would take a bundle of 100 of them and then try snapping it in half. It's impossible to do. So the Medrash says, so too, exactly the same. Klal Yisrael, as an individual, each person standing on their own might be very delicate and brittle. But bring them all together, all of them, aguda achas, together as one unit, they're unbreakable. And this is what was happening in Klal Yisrael over here. Klal Yisrael were being told, la'avrcha bebris, there's a covenant that's going to be made with all of you, all of Klal Yisrael together.
They were responsible.
This is, of course, the source of the whole halacha of Arabus. Arabus, how is it that I can make kiddush for you and I can be mit to you with mitzvahs because I'm responsible, as it were, for your ruchnias? And this was the bris that was forged in this week's parasha, that your ruchnias is very much my concern as well. Says the Be'er Yosef, that your gashmias is also very much my concern. I'm not living in my own ivory tower, secluded, living by myself, but rather the gashmias, the physical welfare of the rest of Klal Yisrael is very much of interest to me as well. So much so that the Gemara in Tanis warns us in very extreme terms about those who do not express interest in the welfare of others in Klal Yisrael. It's nothing to do with me. It's not my business. The Gemara says, if Klal Yisrael ashoru b'tza'ar, there's a tza'ar, there's a tragedy that has befallen Klal Yisrael, and for whatever reason, there might be individuals in Klal Yisrael who weren't directly affected by this tzara. So the Gemara says, if there is anybody who says, I will go home, and I will eat, and I will drink, v'sholoim olecho nafshi, and I will just be fine, what's going on out there is of no concern and of no interest to me, the Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will refuse to forgive him until he dies. Because Klal Yisrael are agudo echo, one bundle, not just in a ruchnia sense, but so too in a gashmiya sense as well. And if there is a tzara that has befallen other members of Klal Yisrael, the one who says, well, it's true this is a national tzara, but it's nothing to do with me personally, and I will go home and rejoice, eat and drink and be merry, Shalom Olecho Nafshi, the Torah warns him, with the Gemara Chazal saying very, very no uncertain terms, you will not get a kapara. The Be'er Yosef ala Torah suggests very beautifully that this is the way you read this psukim. All of Klal Yisrael are assembled here together. But there will be those who will turn away, not just in a ruchnia sense, in a gashmiya sense, and they'll say, whatever's going on with Klal Yisrael, that's their problem. That's not my concern. Rather, Shalom Yeli, just like the words of the Gemara, Shalom Olecho Nafshi, that's his problem, or their problem. Why is that of concern to me? Leman Sefois Horova Es Hatzmeo, as we translated, adding the water upon the thirsty, meaning, like the Gemara says, I will eat, and I will drink, and however hungry and thirsty I am, I will tend to my needs. Anybody else's needs are of no interest to me. And how does the Torah continue indeed? You must know, Lo Yoyve Hashem Lo Yachvay. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not forgive him. Exactly as Chazal warned. Says the Be'er Yosef, he now adds a very beautiful addition. We know the famous Mishnah, the Mishnah in Avos, that says you should not be poyresh min hatzibur. Do not separate yourself from the tzibur, rather be part of the tzibur. One of the mafarshim there on the Mishnah, the Medrash Shmuel, says all of Klal Yisrael are a single unit, and we all believe in a single God. Anybody, therefore, who is poyresh min hatzibur is really saying, therefore I don't believe in this fundamental belief that there is one God who is all of our HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No, that's their God. It's nothing to do with me. I'm being poyresh min hatzibur. I believe perhaps in other forces. And that's why he says that somebody who is poyresh min hatzibur is tantamount to being oved avodah zarah. Because if you really believe that there is one source of everything, one HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and all of Klal Yisrael, as it were, emanates from that one source, then why are you segregating yourself? Why are you cutting yourself off from that source? Do you believe that there's another Koyach? Another Makayr? Whom do we say this to very poignantly? On Seder night, what do we tell the Rasha? You are hoitzi atzmoy min haklal. You took yourself out of the club. Moha voida zeis lochem. What is this that all you lot are busy with? Once you've taken yourself out of the club, what does it say in the Haggadah? Kofa be'ika. He's an Ivra Bezar. He's an apikoyes. That's why, says the Be'er Yosef so beautifully, If you read the psukim again, as we started off, the literal translation of the psukim is somebody turns away and is oivel avodah zarah. The Be'er Yosef says there is another translation. It is somebody who has taken himself out of the klal, and I'm not interested in the tzaris of the klal. But that indeed is tantamount to being oivel avodah zarah. That is the beauty of this translation. It's not an alternative, because it all comes to the same. And then he adds the most wonderful explanation in conclusion to a difficult Gemara. The Gemara says in Brachas, Tavov on the base, the Gemara says, if somebody davens Achoyrei Beis HaKnesses, at the back or behind of Shul, you know what it says? Nikra Rosha. He's called a Rosha. And the Gemara says, there was a story about somebody who went to daven indeed behind Shul, and all of a sudden Eliyahu Anovi appeared, Ketaya. Ketaya, Rashi translates as an Arab merchant. And because he was davening behind the shul, Eliyahu Anovi came, appeared as an Arab merchant, and cut off his head, and killed him in that way. Says the Be'er Yosef, I'll tell you the pshat in a second. Klal Yisrael daven, and they daven together. We're davening for the same things, because your difficulty is my difficulty, and your sorrow and your needs are very much my needs as well. But if you daven behind the shul, outside of the shul, what are you in fact saying? That I'm not part of this. And I'm davening for my own needs, because I have no interest in what you desire, what you need. That's your business. I'm being Pirish min ha-tzibur. So who appears on the scene? Eliyahu HaNavi. And how's he dressed up? As an Arab merchant. Says the Be'er Yosef, the Arab merchant is the one who wanders from place to place and has no fixed abode. He is not shaykh to any particular kehillah or any particular group or guf. He's a wandering nomad, an Arab Bedouin. He goes from place to place to place. Says Eliyahu HaNavi, that's what you're doing as well. By segregating yourself from the Kehillah, you're a Bedouin. You've cut yourself off from the guf of Klal Yisrael. And what punishment did he get? Indeed, his head was removed from his guf. Because that's exactly what you're doing yourself as well. That is the Be'er Yosef's very beautiful translation and explanation of this pasuk. If somebody davens in the back of shul, or outside of shul, he's called a Rosha. Who else is called a Rosha? On the Leil HaSeder, in the Haggadah Shel Pesach, the one who's hoitzi atzmai min haklal, he's called the Rosha. The Rosha is the one who says, it's your God, and it's your Ruchnias, and it's your Gashmias, it's nothing to do with me. Shalom Yeli, I'm just fine. Your tzoros have nothing to do with me. That's the Rosha. But Klal Yisrael forged a brit in this week's parasha, not chas v'shalom to be Roshayim, but rather to understand that not only is your Ruchnias situation of interest to me, but very much your Gashmias, your difficulties are very much my difficulties as well. I'm sure we've mentioned in the past a very famous story, a very beautiful story. Somebody who is driving down the highway in America, and his car breaks down. And he stops at the side of the road. We've mentioned this. Stops at the side of the road, and he's stuck, and he's trying to fix his car, and all of a sudden, somebody pulls over, gets out of his car, and assists him. What can I do? Can I perhaps help you? The person who pulled over was actually a Jew. And he saw that the person who had got stuck was wearing a yarmulke over his head. No, another Jew. How can I not help another Jew? But then he took a closer look, and he saw that around his neck he was wearing a necklace with a cross. He says, you don't mind me asking, he says, are you Jewish at all? He says, no, not at all, not even slightly. Christian? He says, yes, that's why I'm wearing this cross. He says, well, if you don't mind me asking, so what's the yarmulke about? Why are you wearing a yarmulke? So he said, my mother told me, always carry a yarmulke in your car. Because if ever you break down, you pull over to the side, you put on a yarmulke on your head, and you can be rest assured that a Jew will stop you. Indeed, which is exactly what happened. There's no such thing. He broke down his car. That's his problem. Shalom Yali. In the famous trial, known as the Bayless trial, Remeir Shapiro, the great Remeir Shapiro, was representing, as it were, Klal Yisrael. And the judge said to him, in this court case, a young non-Jewish child had been found killed in a classic blood libel, and the Jews were up, as it were, in court. And Remeir Shapiro was defending them, and the judge said, what do you mean when you say you'd never kill a non-Jewish child? Your Gemara, and this is a Chazal, Gemara Bava Metzia says, that wherever it says the word Odom in the Torah, that is a reference to Klal Yisrael. Because you are called Odom, but Goyim are not called Odom. So the judge said to Remeir Shapiro, so what do you mean you wouldn't possibly kill a non-Jewish child? You see how your rabbis relate to us. As far as you're concerned, we're not even an Odom. We're an animal. We're not a human being. So, Rabbi, how do you explain this Chazal? So Remeir Shapiro said a phenomenal thing. What is the translation of the word Odom? Man or person. And what is the plural of Odom?
Adam.
There isn't one. There is a plural of the word, for example, Ish, Anoshim, or Geber, which means a man, Gvorim. But Odom has no plural. He said to the judge, you know, when you read your morning newspaper, sipping over your coffee, and you read about the landslide in South Botswana, what do? Does it affect you in any way? Are you bothered? Are you concerned? Or you just keep on sipping your coffee and you turn over to the next page. We as Klal Yisrael, if we read or hear about a tragedy that has affected somebody on the other side of the world who we've never met and probably will never meet, we're affected by that. We feel genuinely concerned and we'll go out to try and do whatever we can to help. That's what the Gemara means, that we're Odom, because we're in the singular. It doesn't mean to say that Goyim are not Odom because they are animal-like. It means they don't display this singularity, this unity of being an Odom. We are an Odom. You can have one, you can have 1 million, it makes no difference. We are Odom. We are Odom nonetheless. It is very famous, it's recorded, documented, that during the Entebbe raid, before the phenomenal Hassala at the end, the Mir Yeshiva made a Atzeres Tefillah. Davened the Klal Yisrael Shvi Zeicha to Siyata Dishmaya. And I read an account of somebody who was there, and he described how the Mir Rosh Yeshiva, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, before they began davening, he gave a very brief shmuz. And sometimes the most brief droshes are the best, so we'll try and keep tonight brief. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz stood up in front of the Oron HaKodesh, in front of the packed Mir Yeshiva, and he said, Meirai V'Rabbeisai, we're about to daven now that Achenu Beit Yisrael, those caught up in this terrible tragedy, should be saved. He says, every single person here in this Beit HaMedrash should think when they daven to themselves as if it was their father or their mother, or their brother or their sister who's sitting there on their aeroplane. End of shmuz. That's the way that Reb Chaim Shmulevitz himself lived and was trying to inspire the Mir Yeshiva to live in the same way as well. If you genuinely feel this is your brother, this is not just somebody else, this is me, this is my family. His son, my Rebbe, Rebbe Fol Shmulevitz, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, once told me that his father used to give a short half an hour parasha shir every Friday, 12:30 till 1 o'clock. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz was very punctual, he was very orderly, Rabbi Fall never knew about this story until years later, somebody who was present at the time told him. He said, very uncharacteristically, on one occasion, Rabbi Chaim Shulevitz came in late. Very unlike him. Normally 12:30 on the dot, till 1 o'clock on the dot. When he did eventually come in, he looked very ruffled and shaken, and he sat down, and he opened his chumash, and he burst into tears. And he cried, and he sat there, and he cried, and he cried, and he cried. Everybody is sitting around the table, looking and watching and waiting, and not knowing where to turn or what to do. And eventually, 1 o'clock came, and Rav Chaim Shulevitz closes the chumash and left, and that was that week's parasha shiur. It turns out that on the way to the shiur, Rav Chaim Shulevitz had been told that there was a terrible car accident on Kvish Echad, on the road from Yerushalayim to Tel Aviv, which a young couple had passed away. Rav Chaim Shulevitz had no idea who they were, and was in all likeliness unlikely ever to have any contact with them. But that was his Friday morning shiur that week. Rav Chaim Shulevitz felt it. That was his brother, that was his sister. There was no such thing as Shalom Alecha Nafshi, Shalom Yieli, that's their business, that's their concern. His ruchnius and his gashmius is very much of my concern, and that's why we're described as Odom. We're in the singular, never the plural. Me'inyan le'inyan a little bit. We have, of course, begun saying slichas for 5 days already, which is 4 days to go till the Yom Neiroim. There is a medrash, a Talmud de Bei Eliyahu, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells David HaMelech the following. David HaMelech says, what do we do when there are tzoros in Klal Yisrael and there's no karbonis and there's no Beis HaMikdash? What do we do then? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, when tzoros befall Klal Yisrael, Yan du lefonai, Klal Yisrael should stand in front of me, the Agudo Echos, again these words we mentioned before, in one bundle, in one group, and they should say in front of me Slichas. They should say the Slichas, the Yoimru Lofonai Sidre Slicha. And then again the Medrash repeats those words. When Klal Yisrael join together, the Agudo Echos, and they say the Slichas, Ani oyne oysom, then I will listen to them, as it says, Hashem hoishio hamelech ya'aneinu v'yoyim korim. It's emphasized a number of times in that medrash that Klal Yisrael daven, but they daven as agudo echo, and that way they will be zoicha to a kapora. What is the inyan of davening ba'agudo echo? Agudo echo. So on a simple level, as we know, there exists the concept of Tfilas Rabin. The Tfilah of the Yochid is not as powerful, it's not as potent as the Tfilah of the Rabin. And that's what this Medrash could mean. So when you all daven together, that's a much more powerful Tfilah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will therefore respond and will give you a Kapora, and he'll forgive you. But it could be that there's another interpretation. In next week's parasha, in parasha's Vayelech, we read about Hakel. Hakel, as the Torah describes, Anoshim, Noshim, V'taf, men, women and children, everybody was there. Everybody was there, and everybody had to be there. And the Kriyokra explains there that this was the tremendous maimed of Tshuva. This took place just after the Yom Neiroim. It was a tremendous maimer of Tshuva, a maimed of Tshuva. Why indeed did everybody have to be there then? The explanation is as follows. HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgives Klal Yisrael for Averos in the capacity of Melech. In other words, essentially, if somebody has committed an Avera, there is no good reason why he should be forgiven. He ought to suffer the consequences. As the Mefarshim say, if somebody kills someone else and he does tshuva, is the murdered person going to come back? He should suffer the consequences for his aveira. The concept of tshuva is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a melech. And as we know, melech poirets geder. The melech can break the rules. Beyond rhyme or reason, beyond rationale, I can forgive you anyway. By the strict letter of the law, you ought not to be forgiven. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, the melech is above the law. And that's why we say Mechal Lanu every day in davening. How do we refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Mechal Lanu Malkeinu Ki Fashanu. Please forgive us in your capacity as melech. Because if we don't view HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a melech, then we don't deserve to be forgiven. There's no way we can be forgiven. A Talmud Chacham once told me that we're very lucky that there exists a very bizarre concept which helps us understand the concept of tshuva. And it's called a presidential pardon. As we know, the American president, at the end of his 4 years of office, can, without any rhyme or reason, it's totally up to him, can decide that somebody who's sitting on death row, or somebody who's in jail for years on end, that's it. His sentence is commuted, his punishment has been cancelled, a presidential pardon. Does it make any sense? No! So what gives him the right to do it? The answer is because he's a president. He said, this Talmud Chacham once told me, that helps us understand the Musag of Tshuva. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ultimate president. He's the Melech Malchei HaMlochim. So he too, above the law, can turn forgiving. But that's only indeed if we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Melech. And of course, this is our Avodah. We discussed this morning. To be Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If we view HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a Melech, then and only then can we hope to be Zeicha to a Kapora and Tshuva. Because otherwise, if it's by the strict letter of the law, we're going to have to suffer the consequences of all of our avos. There is one Tanai. There is one basic precondition to any melech. And that is a four-word rule. Ein melech veloi am. You cannot have a king without a kingdom. You cannot have a king who has no subjects. If there's an am, then there can be a king. And if there's no am, then there's no king. Indeed, that's what we say in the Pasuk in the Zayit HaBracha. Vayehi bishurun melech. When is HaKadosh Baruch Hu referred to as the melech? Behis'aseif roshei am. When everybody comes together. This is not a bunch of individuals. But rather there is an am. There's a single homogeneous unit called the Am. If there's an Am, there can be a Melech. And if that's the case, we understand very much. That's what the Medrash was saying before. When there are Averis in Klal Yisrael, and the Averis have brought about Oinshim and Soros, and we need a Kaporos, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? Say Slichus. Ba'aguda Acha, as a group, and then I will answer you. Why as a group? So maybe as a tefillas rabbim. But perhaps also because when you come together as an aguda achas, you're becoming an am. And if you're an am, then I'm a melech. And if I'm a melech, I can forgive you. And that's how the Medrash concluded. What were the last words of this Medrash? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that when you gather together and you become the melech, Aguda Achas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers you. What are the concluding words? As it says, Hashem Hoshiya HaMelech Ya'aneinu B'Yoyim Kareinu. That's the idea of becoming an Aguda Achas. It's not just the Tfilat Rabin. But this really brings us back to our first point. The more we feel as an Aguda Achas, other people's Ruchnias, other people's Gashmias, the more we come together as an Am, the more we are being mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a melech, because ultimately, ein melech b'loyam. There cannot be a king without a nation. A nation is not a group of individuals. That's not a nation. That's a lot of people who happen to live in the same place. A nation is a group. A nation is an entity. It's a unit called an am. When you come together as an agudo achas, then you have become an am. And if you have become an am, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu in turn becomes a melech. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu becomes a melech, then indeed we can be zeicher to Hashem Hoshio, HaMelech Ya'aneinu V'Yom Karein.
Yeah.